Okay, thanks for the comments. And now we move to update on implementation activities, Henry and Katrina.
Good morning, everybody. I think I'm starting. Agenda paper two, just the update on the implementation activities. I think we just wanted to give you a little bit of an update on activities supporting the newer standards, as well as give you the regular update about what's been going on at the Interpretations Committee. And I should introduce Javed at the table as well, who's a key member of the implementation team. So maybe I should, if we just move to slide three, if I just say a few words, first of all, about revenue recognition. And I guess it was in Hugh's report, but nobody asked any questions about it, so maybe I'll just say a few words about what's happening there and with the TRG. I'm sure you're all aware, we proposed last year some clarifications, very targeted clarifications, narrow scope clarifications to the revenue standard. And we are now at an advanced stage of finalising those, and the board's completed all of its decision making. And we're largely finalising them in line with what we proposed, except in one of the areas we've decided to fully converge with what the FASB had proposed. So that was around the question about identifying performance obligations. So the final set of amendments will be more converged with the US amendments to the standard than what we originally proposed. As I said, we're at an advanced stage of finalisation with those, and so I would envisage that they should be issued around the end of March. It could be April, but it's around that time frame. Obviously, a lot of these amendments really arose from discussions of the Revenue Transition Resource Group, which was the support group that we set up jointly with the FSB to support the standard. And so we thought very carefully about how we should proceed with the TRG now that that's met for six times over 18 months and we're getting to the end of issuing these amendments to the standard. And the ISB decided it was very important to signal stability with the revenue standard now, and effectively just so that people can really get on with their implementation in the knowledge that the standard is completely stable and is not moving anymore. So as a consequence of that, the ISB decided not to schedule any more meetings of the TRG, whereas the FASB has decided to schedule some meetings this year, but potentially if there aren't sufficient type of issues that warrant summoning the TRG, then effectively they'll cancel the meetings. Now our position is that we're not disbanding our stakeholder members of the TRG, and so they're there to be consulted if need be. But if the FASB does hold a meeting of its TRG, and effectively it's just the meeting of the FASB members of the TRG, then effectively ISB board members, a handful of board members and staff members will observe those meetings so that we're still very much involved in the process. And effectively, the ISB and the FASB staff are still coordinating very closely and working together on any issues that we're aware of out from implementation. So although effectively the ISB is signalling not to schedule any further meetings of the TRG, we're very much still supporting implementation of IFRS 15. We've very much left the submission mailbox, if you like, on the website, on the TRG website, open. And effectively, staff will continue to discuss issue with stakeholders. And as I say, we're working very much closely hand in hand with the FSB on issues that we hear about and on issues that they hear about. Ultimately, If there is a significant issue out there, then the ISB themselves could hold a public discussion if they thought that that would be useful to practice. But as I say, it's very important for us that we signal stability now and make it very clear that, you know, absent there being some very significant issue emerging, we wouldn't envisage making any more changes to the revenue standard now until after the post-implementation review process. So in light of that, one of the things that we will be doing shortly is effectively just trying to pull together all of the various materials that are already available on the website with respect to IFRS 15 and just have a more readily accessible page, a little bit like the page that we've just launched on leasing that Petrina will talk about in a moment. And so on slide 3 you can see some of the materials that are currently available. So I think that's really all I wanted to say about revenue. Any questions at this point?
I'll just say I have a couple of questions, so I'll say them at the same time. And I apologize, it didn't hit me that I should have, before saying this, I should have maybe talked to these members. But if they're willing, I think we have two members of the TRG that are on the Global Preparedness Forum, one U.S. and one international. If appropriate, I'm putting them on the spot, which is totally inappropriate. I would be fascinated by their thought process of the ISB maybe stopping, if I can say, the TRG meetings while the FASB is proceeding. I understand both sides of the issue, but a little troubling to me as a person who's filed under U.S. GAAP but has a whole host of subsidiaries that have statutory reporting under IFRS, and thank you for keeping converged on the one decision you said. But if those members, and totally up to them because I'm putting it on the spot, would like to comment. My second question is quite a specific question, and Tom Zlinsmeyer actually responded to a question on a webcast. I wasn't on the webcast, but it has to do with revenue hedges, and I wonder if you've heard it. It has to do with if you do retrospective adoption and you're doing revenue hedges. Now, right now, currently, we do revenue hedging where we may adopt early, which would be FY17 for us. We hedge revenue up to 3 years in the future, and so we're about to look at hedging FY17 revenue. We're going to have probably a significant change in our revenue recognition pattern, and there's questions of how we should think about our revenue hedges under the current standard and under the new standard, and especially we go retroactive and what that means. I'm the treasury controller at Microsoft, and unfortunately I'm having difficulty giving clarity to my treasury staff of what they should think about. And I think the question has come up of when you change revenue and you're currently doing revenue hedges, cash flow hedges, but your revenue changes, how does that impact your retrospective adoption? Are those hedges no longer effective? Do they go elsewhere in the income statement? And have you looked at it? And those are the things, getting back to the first question, I'm a little concerned about is, I think there may be still a long list of implementation questions because people haven't gotten to the guts of it yet. And kind of my concern with maybe the decisions on the ISB going a different path than the FASB in respect to the TRG. So I'll stop there. Those are my two questions.
We go first and ask one member of the TRG.
I can combine it with the question that I have. I'm in support of the ISB's decision to stop it. I've got to admit, initially, I wasn't even in favor of establishing a TRG. I think it was the right thing to do, but I think it's the right thing to discontinue. I would have loved to see the FASB discontinue as well. The instability that Henry talked about is exactly what we experience, that people think it continues to be a moving target because you don't know what idea the TRG discussions create about making changes or making clarification that may just be the opposite of the policy that you were working on and that you were established and preparing for. So I think the stability is needed. My other concern would be if the longer it goes on, the more the question will be, why only for revenue? Why not for leasing? Why not for every topic? And to imagine a world in which on every standard, the standard is out, and then a group continues to discuss, and let's be frank, give guidance, because whatever we do, it will be, there will be regulators, reviewers sticking that under your noses when doing the reviews. Why don't you do what TRG said? We can't prevent that from happening. And to imagine a world and on every standard, so standard is out, now I want to start to implement. No, unfortunately, there's a group that's still discussing it, and that may have a significant impact on my preparation. It's actually a world I don't want to live in. And that's why, to me, it's unfortunate that the FASB continues. And that takes me to my question. What is even more unfortunate is a comment that obviously Mr. Schnur made, which is, I don't care about the ISB stepping out of the process. The SEC intends to enforce everything that is coming from the TRG going forward on IFRS preparers as well as on US GAAP preparers. It's one joint standard, and they don't see why they should make any differences in enforcing, except for the stuff where the standard explicitly is different. That I find that very worrisome, because I in the past I always thought that the SEC had found a pretty wise approach to IFRS, and I understood that it's a principle-based standard and that it's a different way of preparing under IFRS and a different way of enforcing it. Unfortunately, that appears to be changing now, and I would like, and that's my question to Henry, these comments from the SEC, is that impacting your work, your thoughts in any way?
Well, obviously the SEC is the regulator, and the SEC will decide whatever action that they want to take. I mean, obviously, that whole consideration about foreign private issuers was something that was considered in the decision making. I mean, to my mind, I think that's a very important reason why, if the TRG meets in the US and it is just the US constituents of the TRG, I think that's why it's very important that ISB is observing that meeting and participating in the meeting as well. So I think that's how we're giving a voice, if you like, to IFRS stakeholder perspectives into the discussion.
Any answer to this first from Bob? Or
well, I think Bob has sort of raised a very interesting, very specific question that I feel actually is not one I think that I've heard.
Yeah.
And it's one where I will be very cautious about saying anything in a public meeting, with especially as it's touching on hedging and the like, which is certainly not my specialist area. So Bob, I'd be very happy to follow up and talk to you about that one. I think I will get myself into hot trouble if I...
Russell, do you want to?
Yes, just responding to Bob's comment. I can only speak from a U.S. perspective, but I would say there's going to continue to be instability in the U.S. until people have an understanding of how to apply the guidance. So whether the guidance comes from the TRG or other forces, whether it be the Big Four or discussions with peers, I think what you're seeing a lot of now is a lot of peer discussions taking place. And at least in our situation, we're finding out that we're really all over the place in terms of how we're thinking about it. A lot of people are trying to protect and continue their existing accounting practices, and we're diverse. There's a lot of diversity in our accounting practices today. So that's our concern. I mean, so without the TRG, we would still have the instability, because we're gonna seek clarification on guidance where we feel like we're not aligned with our peers. Now, whether that would be pre-clearing with the SEC or using the ASEPA industry groups, that's just kind of the nature of how things progress in the U.S. So I find the TRG discussions helpful. I don't think it creates any more instability than would exist without it, but that may not be the case elsewhere. but that's the U.S. perspective.
You know, Russell, I think one thing, I think the U.S. had, 250 or 275 individual standards that emerged over decades, so going from that to 50 or 60 pages of text is likely rough. For most of the rest of the world, the exact opposite phenomena occurred, where there was very little limited guidance, and this was quantum leaps forward in terms of detail. I mean, it's just sort of a different perspective, you know, of how to think about it. They're saying this is way too much than we need. And where the U.S., look at all the stuff we're losing we used to have. Well, it didn't mean you couldn't go back and look at it. You know, it wasn't like it was forgotten or lost. You could always go back and reference it if need be. But ultimately, I think a lot of these issues, I think the three big issues on TRG that came in day one, gross versus net, definition of performance obligations, and licensing, two of the three were 100% aligned. Licensing, you're about 99% aligned. Then you start going down to second and third level issues, and at some point, you know, and as you're narrowing down, there's always going to be a transaction in the middle that goes left or goes right. I mean, when do you draw the line? Okay.
I think we don't have time for a principle discussion if rules-based or principle-based is a better kind of standard setting. Is it on the same, Kevin, or?
Slightly off. And I think following on what Christoph said, the ISB needs to listen to what Schnur is saying. And I think the ISBs, please stop using the word converged. I think you have one converged standard at the moment, revenue. There's no others, because the EITF has come up with loads of idiosyncrasy differences. We for leases we say, well, we're converged on the balance sheet. Well, apologies to my American colleagues, but Americans don't listen to the whole sentence. And so,
no apologies necessary. I resemble that remark.
And so,
and Kevin.
And as a foreign priority show, I know I'm listening to FinREC, I'm listening to Schnur, and I'm adopting US GAAP for revenue recognition because I can't afford to change. And we need to be different when we're different and stay different.
And Kevin, you've made that point very eloquently previously that I've heard, and I think we really have tried to take that on board. So, for example, in the revenue clarifications document, we are trying to explain where there are differences and to be very clear about those differences and to say, to the extent that we can, what are the implications of that. And not make sort of sweeping assertions to say, oh, well, the two boards have the same objective here, so it should all be about the same, even though the words are different. We're accepting that, you know, if the words are different, then there, of course, there could be differences. So we are trying to be very clear about that. And it was one of the reasons why, when we made the announcement about the TRG on the website, we also just were very clear about effectively, you know, what IFRS stakeholders are expected to apply and how that relates to the US version of the standard as well, because again, that's something a lot of our stakeholders were calling for clarity about.
Okay, I think we maybe need a post-implementation review for transition resource group in the future and discuss all this. But we have now only 5 minutes for the rest of the implementation.
We will move through the rest very swiftly. And I will lead on from Henry and, I suppose, just then fill you in on, I suppose, what we're planning to do around supporting implementation on IFRS 16, which looks quite different from how we initially supported implementation on IFRS 15. Mainly because we have decided, having consulted with the Advisory Council, that there will not be a TRG. In the context of IFRS 16. And instead what we did is you may or may not have seen, there is something that looks like this in small print, but we have put on our website sort of an implementation page supporting IFRS 16. It's slightly tucked away at the moment, and we're hoping to get an easier path on our website for people seeing it. But all we are trying to do there is, I suppose, in light of the fact that we're saying clearly there won't be a specific group like a TRG, however, we still intend to be quite active in supporting implementation. And just a couple of things I'll highlight there is that what that page does is obviously just pull together any materials that are already there that we think are helpful in sort of understanding the standard, which are listed on your slide on page 4. And also at the moment, for example, we're working on a series of sort of what we call implementation webcasts. So we just had on the day of publication, quite a high level webcast, introducing the standard at sort of 20,000 feet. And now what we hope to do is go through some of the main topic areas in the sense that we think hopefully will be interesting to largely preparers but also others as well. And for example, the first of those that we're developing at the moment is around transition. Because again, any of you that have had a chance to look at the transition requirements in IFRS 16, you'll see that it is an area that to me is certainly very worthwhile looking at early in the process, because it's somewhere that the ISB, I think, tried to take a very pragmatic approach, and therefore there's a lot of optionality in the transition requirements for companies to look at and think about, and making the decisions around transition can really influence not just the process but actually your numbers going forward. What are your numbers on transition versus what's the numbers going to be after transition? So I just highlight that and to say that was why we sort of picked that topic first as something we think hopefully will be useful and particularly for companies to look at early.
It's early for this comment, but have you got any initial views on the EU acceptance, EFRAG, and obviously they have to go through their process, but have you any views?
I can give you an update on what I know about the process, which I think is known, is that we do have to stay in contact with closely in contact with EFRAG and with the European Commission staff as well. EFRAG did start their process, did start thinking about this quite early, and obviously both the board and the TEG has been talking about the leases project, whilst the project has been developed. And actually they did already do some work, for example, a debt covenant survey and various sort of pieces of work so far that'll hopefully put them a step ahead. And saying that that is now going through the process of getting what is the ARC committee, in a sense, so first of all, the committee of the member states together who will give sort of final recommendations to EFRAG in terms of what they expect to be done to support European endorsement. So that process is certainly underway. My understanding is that in terms of what's expected of EFRAG in terms of working out what to do for endorsement should be clear by the middle of this year, and then I think there's possibly a target that work could be completed towards the end.
So it's too early to assess whether or not there's big resistance or whether there's going to be a carve-out or something.
Well, I think we can be optimistic that resistance seems to be going down a little bit, and more people seem to be accepting the idea. And the message we get is, okay, that's going to happen. Now, how do we do with it? Not rather, we have to do with it.
I think we certainly know some parts of the leasing industry, of course.
Of course, they might have vested interest in not liking it.
Yeah, are opposed to it. But I do get the impression that, along with Philippe, even it was interesting, I think, on the day that we published, at least one of the leasing associations, a UK association, put out a press release saying, look, we think this is sort of no big deal. One of the leasing associations in the UK sort of said, look, this isn't any big deal in a sense. We think, our business is still a very strong business and we move forward and, we're here to support our customers in this.
Let's see and hope. So
I only wanted to just before we move to say the rest of what you saw on your slides obviously just summarises all of the work that's going on in the interpretations committee process at the moment. I don't intend to go into any detail, but if there was any of those that anybody had any particular comments or wanted to pass any information to us, then we'd be happy to hear your views.
It's not to be the case. Any other question, comments? Katrina, Henry, also not. Then we have a 15-minute break.